The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. And Dylan, in an ever-changing pro wrestling landscape all over the world, things are getting out of hand, things are getting crazy, especially within the last few days. There are two things we can rely on, and that is first, that after the Tag League, we get the full card for Wrestle Kingdom. And in early December, we get the winners of the annual Tokyo Sports Awards.
Absolutely, Striga. And I'm so happy that we got together to do this episode. It was really the first thought that crossed my mind when I saw the awards come out, as well as the card for the Tokyo Dome that we're going to get into. So this is going to be a real no-frills type of episode. Some real good stuff here. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of the reaction to this Dome card, and I definitely wanted us both to get our takes on it. So I'm really excited for the show today.
Yes, for sure. So let's just start and jump right in with the Tokyo Dome card. Of course, this card has the annual, I think it's the fourth time or the third time that the New Japan Rumble opens the Dome as the opening match, the so-called dark match, the listed number zero match. I guess we can expect a lot of guys that don't make it on the cards. Like, we don't have the Young Lions on there, Hirai Kawato and Henare. Sadly, Teruaki Kanemitsu has a bad injury, not further specified cervical spine injury that he suffered during the Tag League tour. So he's off. But I guess we can expect a lot of veterans again making their way down the Tokyo Dome aisle, like the Great Kabuki, Yoshiaki Fujiwara, and guys like that. And of course,
Tiger Mask.
Yep. And one guy, I think, is going to be in this match, and that's Scott Norton.
Ah!
Because, a couple of weeks ago, he mentioned that he's going to be back in New Japan.
Are you sure he's not going to come out after the main event to challenge the winner? He's a former IWGP heavyweight champion.
You know, I'm going to tell you who's coming out after the main, because I already have my plans made up for this one. So we are opening, and great transition from here. We are opening the match with a TV anime special match, of course. Tiger Mask W is returning to New Japan Pro Wrestling, and as he is facing Tiger the Dark. Dylan, you've been watching the Tiger Mask W series regularly. I sadly didn't get the chance to. What can you tell us about Tiger Mask W and Tiger the Dark?
Well, Striga, when it comes to Tiger Mask W and Tiger the Dark, these guys were longtime best friends. They trained together as young boys. The very first scene of the anime are these two banging on for their mentor, who's getting destroyed by the main villain of the show, Yellow Devil, which is the main heel on the show. So he destroys their mentor, beats the crap out of both of them, Tiger Mask W and Tiger the Dark. So that's when they gain their characters, pretty much. Naoto, who is based on the original Tiger Mask in the series, Naoto Date, and then Takuma Fuji, who is Tiger the Dark, becomes Tiger the Dark, obviously. Now, they're both good guys on the show, but Tiger the Dark has joined the bad promotion known as Tiger's Den, the bad dojo, and the bad company GWM, which is kind of like WWE in the show. Man. And Tiger Mask is fighting, they're both fighting against Tiger Mask, but Tiger Mask W wants to fight him straight on, head on, and as always, as a heroic character. And Tiger the Dark is infiltrating Tiger's Den to destroy them within to kill Yellow Devil, who injured their mentor. Because Yellow Devil taunted Tiger the Dark and said, the only way you can beat me is to train like me. And so he did that, and they're rivals, but also kind of on the same side. It's a complicated storyline. You have to watch the show to understand, I would say. Now, my one take on this, before you go, Strigger, is that and I'll let you go from here. Who do you think will play Tiger the Dark in this show? Because we have a good idea of who Tiger Mask W will be.
I feel like this Tiger the Dark guy, as you just explained the character, I think that this character has a lot of adrenaline, charisma, and of course, heart.
That's interesting. That's interesting. You know, and if it is someone that I think would really fit those characteristics to a T, that I know we're all thinking of, I would just like to say that I think that he might not be a good fit for Tiger the Dark.
Ooh.
You know, and only because not only is he the Tiger the Dark, Takuma Fuji is very Japanese. They also had a black character on the show. Black Python, in fact, was the name. Though some people may consider that racist outside of Japan, because it's obvious.
Yeah, sure.
But on the show, he's Black Python, and from England. He's a British technical master. So that person would not fit there either. So I could go with it. If it is him, I think that those two could have a heck of a match. But with the restrictions of playing these anime characters in real life, it can't be as good as it could have been if it was more a straight match. But it will also be a lot of fun to see these two characters, especially I'm a big fan of this show, as we all know. And it's just cool to see these guys. It's cool to see Kota Ibushi, who we presume to be Tiger Mask W. It's not confirmed. It could very well be someone else. But we mostly know that it's going to be Kota. And so it just amazes me that he could have been a main eventer on this show, but instead he gets to live his dream of opening the show as an anime character, Tiger Mask. And I'm so proud of both of these two men.
Yes, 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 yes. I don't know if we're going to cover any other match as extensively as we just did with the opening match. But are we going to...
I've been saving that for Tiger Cast W, and I just gave everyone a...
Yeah. So, next up is the IW Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title match. I'm doing a pause right here because I'm not adding 3-way or 4-way or 5-way or whatever multi-man extravaganza they can think of, because for the first time in 5 years, it's going to be a singles... a regular tag team match in the Tokyo Dome as the Young Bucks face Roppongi Vice. So
that is incredible what you just said, especially at the Dome here. Now that said, though, I am happy that it is a straight tag match, but it's just we've seen these two teams interact dozens and dozens of times in New Japan. Yes. And my problem with this is what it always is in the Dome, and that is Juniors in the Dome. And when you say those words to me, I think, because even at their strongest point in New Japan, when they had Liger, Kanemoto, El Samurai, those guys, they were not that over when it came to the Dome fans. The Dome crowd is a different kind of crowd than the regular New Japan fan base. As I think a lot of people know and understand. So I'm interested to see the reaction to the juniors here. And I feel like this tag team division, this junior heavyweight tag team titles have been so devalued. I feel like we could easily see RPG Vice win these titles and then the Young Bucks win them back next month and render all of this pointless, which that caps my personal interest in this tag team.
So actually not the first time in 5 years, because 2011, there wasn't even a junior heavyweight tag team title match in the Tokyo Dome. Mm-hmm. But for the first time in 4 years, I think, let me just quickly Look that up. Yeah. Junior heavyweight. Three-way, four-way. Last year, we always had three-ways and four-ways. 2012, the opening match of the Tokyo Dome show was for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title, regular tag team match. Apollo 55, Prince Devitt and Ryosuke Taguchi defeated the No Remorse Corps of Davey Richards and Rocky Romero.
Oh, who could forget that match?
Yeah.
That was before the Ustream era. Since New Japan blew up in the Western Hemisphere, this is the first time.
Yeah,
the straight.
But as you said, those teams have met multiple times, so it should be a fun, high-flying spectacle.
Yeah.
Another spectacle should be the Never Openweight six-man tag team title match, because they made this a gauntlet match with four teams, the defending champions, Satoshi Kojima, Ricochet, and David Finlay, the most unlikely trio in all of wrestling, I think. I don't know, but there must be something in Mexico that is more unlikely, of course. Against Zanada, Evil, and Bushi, they are going against Tomohiro Ishii, Yoshihashi, and Will Ospreay. And we have the Bullet Club team of Yujiro Takahashi, Bad Luck Fale, and Hangman Page. So, I like this match, because this match brings everyone onto the card that didn't have a match. And that's the spirit of these big shows.
Yeah, I think that is the exact way I would describe this. It got everybody on the card that didn't have a match, and it really makes me wonder about that Rumble, coming before the show, because I thought a lot of these guys would be taking up those spots. Instead, they got them on this cool gauntlet match, which is something different for New Japan, and I like to see it. I think it gives these Never six-man titles kind of an edge, kind of a hook to their match, because otherwise it would just be kind of a random type of match. I love that Chaos team, personally, of Ishii and Yoshihashi.
It's a great team, yeah.
Yeah, that group is awesome. I hope they win, but I can easily see the Ingobernable is winning.
Yep.
Or the champions retaining.
No, I'm pretty much sure Ingobernable are winning.
Yeah, I do think the Ingobernable will win. But I would, if it were my choice, I would have the Chaos team to win. But yeah. The Ingobernables will probably win. I think we'll talk more about the Ingobernable later on. But I do think this is a fun match. Do we know the order of the gauntlet yet? Has that been announced or anything?
No, I don't think it has been announced. I can quickly check the New Japan homepage.
I can see Bullet Club team getting taken out quickly. You want to talk about an unlikely team? Forget about the champion. What does Hangman Page have in common with Yujiro and Bad Luck Fale?
Dude, Yujiro and Hangman Page have actually been a pretty good tag team in the tag league.
Yeah, they actually did okay in the tag league.
They had a great... Hangman Page had a great match in the semi-main of the tag league finals with Kenny Omega against Ishii and Okada. That was a great match.
Yeah. But, I'm speaking more of their characters.
Yeah, sure.
The Fale and Yujiro and Hangman Page.
Yeah.
These guys. Hangman Page and Yujiro are not friends outside the ring. Don't try something on
that. Right. Let's go to the gimmicks. Yujiro Takahashi is a part-time wrestler and a full-time pimp right now.
Of course.
Bad Luck Fale is a bouncer. That may play into Yujiro.
Yeah, that could work together.
That could work out. But then we have Hangman Page.
Yeah. And he has a noose.
Yeah. I don't know what exactly. Maybe, just maybe. So, Yujiro is the pimp.
Yes.
Bad Luck Fale is his bouncer. And if Bad Luck Fale gets a guy and throws him out of the club wherever Yujiro is pimping, then this guy just gets hanged. I don't know.
that was a great effort on your part, Strigo.
I'm trying.
That's the kind of analysis you get on this show. You don't get anywhere else, people.
Yeah,
but yes, it should be a good match, though. I think the Chaos team will, and pretty much all three of these teams can bang pretty much. And if Fale can handle his part, and like you said, Hangman Page and Yujiro, they haven't been the worst team in the tournament. So they could have a good run here. I think this could actually be a sleeper kind of good match.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the Tokyo Dome card, and no match order for the
open,
for the gauntlet has been announced. So we'll see. The next match is a special singles match that everybody has been up in arms about. Actually, about both guys, which surprised me quite a bit. As Cody is making his debut for New Japan, facing Juice Robinson in a singles match in the Tokyo Dome. What's your take on this?
Okay, first of all, I would like to go give everyone a look behind the scenes. As last episode, we were planning to talk about Juice Robinson, but we kind of got shorted about time because he's so improved.
Yep.
And he did such a good job in the tag league. And we both like him, and I think we can both agree on that.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people on Twitter have just gone insane over Cody Rhodes.
Yeah!
I don't really understand when he became the worst worker on Earth.
Thank you, because I was always wondering what on Earth happened that everybody is just so mad about Cody Rhodes showing up anywhere. I don't know.
It's crazy. It's just crazy to me because he's always been fine. Like in WWE, he's been a fine worker. You know, his tag team with Goldust had some of my favorite matches in WWE the last few years. So I think he's getting kind of undersold in a way. I think nobody thinks he's going to be the next Misawa or anything like that. I don't know why these expectations are being thrown on him that way. And I think it's really silly of some people to just go on and on about how terrible.
You know, one thing that I can understand is that it's not Cody Rhodes, but it's Cody, the new Bullet Club member, you know?
Oh, that's okay. Now, that right there, let's talk about that. First of all, the preceding promo that introduced him was absolutely atrocious from Omega, I thought. No reaction. It was horrible. And then Cody comes in with this video.
And we have been talking about these Kenny Omega promos since the summer.
Yeah. This might have been the worst one for Cody.
So these promos, of course, they are not... These promos are not for the actual live crowd, which is astonishing. But these promos, Kenny does, they're playing into the... Internet fans watching at home.
I guess. I don't like them. Like even if they're aimed towards us.
Yeah, the entire point of this promo was that Kenny wanted to make you believe that the new Bullet Club member is actually Ryback. That was the entire point of the promo.
I know. That was really silly. But that wasn't the only problem. His video where he entered, I thought it was something straight out of the 80s, where, you know, he's this big shot guy, he comes out of the limo and everything.
Well, I actually thought this promo was brilliant.
It was good. His talking was good, but I think his, just the way it came across to me, I thought was very kind of cheesy. But he was good, and I think he's a great talker, actually, by the way. I just want to put that out
there. Yeah, but then again, there's Juice Robinson, and I've been having discussions with guys on Twitter over the fact that Juice Robinson is having a singles match in the Tokyo Dome, and from my vantage point, Juice Robinson has earned this opportunity over the course of the last months with good matches.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
And then there are people on Twitter saying that Juice Robinson never had a good match, and I
don't pay attention. Those are the same people that said Yoshihashi never had a good match earlier in the year.
I don't know. I just think people are just not watching when I read stuff like that. Don't know.
Don't pay them any mind. But like I said, you know, it happens. And a lot of times you have to understand, I said this was Yoshihashi.
Yeah.
His reputation was a really bad worker for a long time, Juice Robinson. When he came in as CJ Parker, nobody liked him. But he's improved, and sometimes it takes some time for people to warm up, even if they've already improved. It's hard to shake those first impressions.
And it's good that you're mentioning Yoshihashi, because that's another point. Why are Tomohiro Ishii and Yoshihashi in this godforsaken never openweight six-man tag team title match, and why are they not having singles matches in the Tokyo Dome? Well, there are only so many spots on the card, and right now it's not their turn. No. Tomohiro Ishii had his big match against Okada. He has had his opportunity against Tetsuya Naito this year. Yoshihashi had his opportunity against Kenny Omega. He will eventually get another opportunity. But right now, Juice Robinson is having a singles match, and that's the end of the story.
And you have to understand, this match is going to be about getting Cody over.
Yeah.
Like, so they don't want to sacrifice Ishii or Yoshihashi here. Robinson, it's still enough where he's still low enough on the card where a loss will not hurt him, but he's also a good enough worker that he will help get Cody over and yeah. make him look good in this match.
Sure. So
no worries on that.
Yeah, right. Then we have a Ring of Honor World title match that's actually better than most Ring of Honor World title matches were on New Japan cards, because with Kyle O'Reilly, there is a guy in the match who's actually over with the New Japan crowd, and Adam Cole has been there before. He's kind of over too, so they should be at least fine and better off than Jay Lethal and Michael Elgin were last year.
Yeah, they last year those guys got left out to dry, yeah. pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what the Dome's reaction to these guys are, because like I said, I feel like there's a different crowd than usual, but I do agree that Kyle O'Reilly's over and should be fine with these guys, and it could be a really good match, you know, these two. They could have a nifty little match. I don't expect this to get a lot of time to be a great match.
Yeah, like 11, 12 minutes or something.
Yeah, exactly, but I think they can represent fine for Ring yeah. of Honor, and definitely have an improvement over last year's match.
Right. IWGP Tag Team title, Guerrillas of Destiny face Togi Makabe and Tomoaki Honma, the winners of the Tag League. And we were pretty much sure that Hiroki Goto and Tomohiro Ishii were winning the Tag League. And to that
Those losers? Why do we think that?
And to that point, I only have one thing to say.
Yeah.
Plans change. Thank you, Pro Wrestling Noah. So, yeah. Guerrillas of Destiny improved very much.
Oh, yeah.
And especially Tangaloa. Tama Tonga has always been good. But Tangaloa, yep. he improved vastly. So,
yeah.
This should be a great match, like their match in the Tag League Finals was. I was watching this match, the first 5 minutes, nothing special. I was just getting ready for the WXW show last Saturday, just watching. And then it actually grabbed me, and I thought, man, this match really, really is good. And I expect this match in the Dome to be as good, maybe even better.
That match blew me away with yeah. how good it was.
Yeah.
I never expected that. We were doing the show the morning of the finals, and we were kind of laughing about this match, about how we couldn't believe that GBH won. But man, these guys delivered so hard here, especially Honma.
And I thought, and that is what New Japan has been doing all year. You know, yeah. all year long, people are kind of down on what New Japan presents, and in the end, the show is great. And everybody's raving about it, or at least saying, well, that it was a good show, and I didn't expect it to be that good.
I tell you what, too. You were totally right about the Gorillas and their improvement. I think on this show, we've been a little softer on these two than a lot of people on the internet, because these guys have taken a beating
yep.
on Twitter this year. I think we gave them more of a chance, and I think when you look back at that power struggle match with Ishii and Yoshihashi, that brought a new element to
yes.
both of these guys
yes.
in terms of confidence that
right.
they got. That's what was missing with these two more than anything. They finally got their confidence. The crowd was super into both of them, but because of them as well as the great opponents they've had, and they carried it through the tag league all the way through. They were one of the highlights of Block A, I would say.
Yep.
And I really am looking forward to this match here. I think it's going to be a really cool match. Who do you think takes home the titles?
I don't know.
It could go either way.
Yeah, as pretty much all the title matches could go either way on this show. Which pretty much is the intrigue of this Tokyo Dome card. As
yeah.
as next up, we have for the junior heavyweight singles title, Kushida, who just won the belt from Bushi in his first defense against Hiromu Takahashi. And actually, I really don't know. This kind of match that New Japan does, where actually none of the two guys should lose the match, you know?
Yeah.
Kushida just won the belt, and Hiromu is returning. So, actually, nobody of those should lose.
I gotta agree, but I think, A, that makes an intriguing match. But in my opinion, just the way I see things, I strongly feel Takahashi should win. Only because Kushida lost the title. They flipped it. I feel like this division is in need. And I feel like we say this every year. I feel like this reign of Kushida, it started off like really strong. And by the end, the last 4 or 5 months of the year, Kushida has not looked like the star that he was before. We saw it in his reaction in his match with Bushi. I feel like Takahashi is the way hotter player of the two. And I actually think, I'm going to say this, not to jump ahead too much, but I think every member of Los Ingobernables will have a title.
Yes.
Coming out of the show. And I predict Takahashi will win this match.
Yeah, well, that was what I was hinting at earlier, too.
Yeah.
So, I'm seeing this happening, too. Kushida, we mapped it out for Kushida after the Best of the Super Juniors, but they didn't follow up on it. Kind of derailed it with the Bushi reign that
baffling
didn't make any sense at all.
No.
I don't know. And
it didn't pay off. It didn't make him more popular. I know that. I'm interested to see these two's reaction because Takahashi's still he's still new. I think the Dome crowd will see him as a new guy.
Could be,
But I hope he gets a good reaction.
But
he's such a flashy guy
yeah. with his gimmick and with
he's
his,
a star.
Yeah, he's a star, right? Yeah. That's it.
The minute he walked out and licked that title belt, you knew we had. Yeah. Although I regret that was regretful, but it made him stand out.
And how awesome was it that when he fist bumped with Tetsuya Naito?
Yeah, he fits right in. Though I don't know. I kind of liked him being on his own, to be honest with you. And I'm afraid that there will be interference in this match. I'm always afraid of that with the Ingobernables, but hopefully not. I want to, because Takahashi is a dynamite worker. This could easily be if they let these guys go and let them these guys unleash. This could be the best match on the card, in my opinion.
Yeah, it can be, but so there won't be any chances of interference, I guess, with the following match for the NEVER Openweight Championship, as Katsuyori Shibata defends against his classmate Hiroki Goto, possibly taking the spot of Goshi Ozaki here.
Yeah. Very, very unexpected, very cold feud.
Yeah, it really, really felt like they were just doing this out of nowhere. When in the tag league, Shibata pinned Goto first, and then Goto got his win back over Shibata, and that set up the title match. Yeah, don't feel the match. As this has been, as I said, kind of been booked out of nowhere. So, going to be a great match. Don't know who's winning. Don't really care who's winning. Just want a good match.
Yeah. My feeling on this, to me, it just seems like New Japan's just like, hey, these guys aren't that big of a deal on this card, but they're too big of a star to just not do anything with. So fight each other, you know, and just no real build up or hook to this match. They've done it so many times too. Like this is not their first go around together. Their very first match was an amazing match, the one they had together. Which was in Dominion years ago. And their Wrestle Kingdom match was very good too. And they tried hard on that show. And I think these guys are going to try very hard in this match, and there will be violence. I think you can count on this. Like you said, I love Goto more than anybody else, and I like Shibata a lot, but I, like you said, this is more like a soul food kind of match. I don't expect it to light everything on fire, but it will be good for however long they have in that ring.
No, it's funny that for my German podcast I do for Straight Wrestling on Cage Match, my co-host is also the biggest Hiroki Goto fan in the world.
It's you, Stringer. I think you attract us.
I think so. So, heading up to the semi-main of the show, as Tetsuya Naito is defending the Intercontinental Championship against Hiroshi Tanahashi. And this really should be, above everything else, the exclamation point on the year that Tetsuya Naito had. Not only being the IC champion, but also being the MVP of Tokyo Sports, which we are getting to later on. Mm-hmm. And I don't really see Tanahashi winning, but New Japan has proven me wrong so many times. But I feel that Tetsuya Naito really has to win this one.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I don't see much of a hope for Tanahashi here. Though I'm actively rooting for it because it will anger so many people. if it does. And honestly, if you look at these four guys in this main event, Tanahashi, if this show, talking about pure box office, if this show does good, Tanahashi will get the least amount of credit in terms of his fan base on Twitter. But I've always thought he was underrated. Still to this day, I mentioned it when we talked about Power Struggle. I think his match with Sonata was a big deal to the fans. And I think him having big matches is always a big deal to the native fans.
Yeah.
And I think he carries a lot of this on his shoulders and he won't get the credit for it that he deserves. But Naito, for what they're building and the year that Naito's had, I can't imagine him losing this match in any sort of way without it just being very confusing. But I guess the only explanation to try to talk myself into an unexpected result here, because to me, I really think Naito's going to win. But if they want to continue this feud and they want to have Naito go back and forth with Tanahashi, then Tanahashi would have to win. But I don't think that's going to happen. This feud is all about the dome in general, that Naito is taking Tanahashi's spot. Tanahashi has seen his better days. And Naito, I really think, will win this match. And I think it could be... I think this will be the most heated match of the night, and to the fans, it will be the true main event of the show, in my opinion.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so.
Yeah.
And finally, of course, Okada defending the IWGP Heavyweight Championship against the G1 Climax champion, Kenny Omega. I don't know.
I think that's the nicest thing you could say.
not about the match itself, because I'm pretty much sure that both guys will bring their A game, as they are both determined to have the best match of the year on January 4, and both guys over the course of the last months, they have shown that, as you said, they are capable. And they are bringing it when they are put in a big match situation. Both Okada and Kenny Omega have shown that in 2016. And that's the least of my worries. So this match should be great. The question that remains is how much of an attraction is it?
I just want to just ask you this straight up, because everybody knows how I feel about Omega and his promos. I just think he's so awful. It's unreal. What do you think that I'm wrong on this?
Oh, on what?
On Omega and his promos and his facial expression. That bother me so much.
I don't necessarily...
Would you say I'm fair?
I don't necessarily think that his promos are bad. I would say they are... not the right promo for the right crowd.
Yeah. That's a big part of it as well. But just the way he talks is just so cheesy. To me, I feel like so stereotypical wrestlery and just not a good look. And I don't think it's the right tone either for his character. And it's funny because remember that press conference after the October show, the King of Pro Wrestling?
Yeah.
Omega cut that really bad promo where he was talking like really growly and stuff, and Okada just cut a really bored promo when he talked. He was very bored. He was like, "Oh, I haven't really seen him, but I'm sure it'll be a great match," or something like that. I'm paraphrasing totally here, but I remember that promo well. Now, in terms of this match itself, I don't know if it's the attraction of this show. I really think Naito and Tanahashi is the main attraction of this show, but like you said, when motivated, and for all my complaints about Omega, when he tries, when he really puts it out there, he can be one of the greatest wrestlers in the world. There's no doubt in my mind that, and he showed it. There's no, it's no, it's unquestionable after this last, these last few months. And we're going to get that. He is going to try this match above all other matches. But to me, I really haven't, they really have not convinced me that Omega has a real chance to win this title. He doesn't, and that's another problem with his promo, is that he almost never comes across as a main eventer to me, or someone that has the crowds behind him. He really comes across mid-card at best with that, mid-card foreign heel. And Okada, he has the presence, he has the push. We just saw his commercial with Mila Jovovic. So,
Mila Jovovic, that...
You're a fan.
That is...
Is that what you're saying?
I'm not a fan, but there was such a... Such a surreal moment just having this video of Okada and then Mila Jovovic also saying that she hopes Okada wins in the Tokyo Dome and endorsing Okada. It just, yeah. I don't know. It's completely weird. Just wrestling.
Bushiro did a great job.
Yeah. It's just wrestling is so weird.
All for a card game too that Bushiroad did. I don't know if you saw the interview, but I love Mila's part where she's like, I love Mr. Okada and his signature move, and then she does the hand pose that Okada does.
No!
Yeah. Not the Rainmaker, but his kind of like when he sticks out his hand.
Man.
Yeah, when he takes pictures or whatever. So I thought that was very funny. She always called him Mr. Okada, which I liked. And I do think amazing. Mr. Okada will win this match. And that leaves a lot of speculation under who is next, the next opponent for the whoever wins this match. There's been a lot of speculation on, you know, people coming out. There's been multiple people bantered about on Twitter about who could come out after this main event match.
Oh, there's only one solution, because Tiger Mask W, after Kenny Omega wins the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, Tiger Mask W will come out, reveal himself as Kenny Omega's nemesis. Former tag team
partner.
That
would be really impressive if he revealed himself as Kenny Omega.
No. As his former tag team partner, Kota Ibushi.
And that would get a huge pop. I mean, we don't know that Kota Ibushi is Tiger Mask W.
No.
You're making a lot of assumptions right now.
I am. I am.
That birthmark means nothing. yes, that I think a lot of people are expecting that, but to me... I question why even do it that way, have Tiger Mask W come out in the first place. Just have Ibushi come out. Like, bill it as a surprise return. To me, having Tiger Mask W, I don't know if that's the best look for the main event of the Tokyo Dome.
Of course.
Like, that's just my opinion on that.
Well, but overall, this should be a really great show.
I'm looking forward to... The junior heavyweight match, that's what I'm looking forward to. In terms of an outcome, something that's a combination of A, great wrestling, B, an outcome, and 3, characters I care about. I would say the junior match is at the top of my list. I think Naito and Tanahashi will have an amazing match. And I also think the tag match will be really strong too. And I think that is the match above any of the others that could go either way. I'm really interested in the tag match. And Goto and Shibata, and Omega and Okada will have great matches, but I'm not as into Omega, and just Goto and Shibata just aren't doing anything, like, in terms of a storyline right now. Like, Shibata's storyline, it's not his fault, he kind of got cut off for the reasons we said, and Goto just isn't doing anything, so...
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that once the big stage is set, and of course...
They'll have a great match.
And of course, the evening... Right before the Tokyo Dome show takes place, there, of course, is the construction live stream. The construction of the stage is always streamed live. That's something else.
Do you think that, what kind of celebrity influence? Do you think Mila Jovovic will actually be at the show?
That would be so awesome.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Remember last year they had the girl from AKB, I think.
Yep.
Or in the Battle Royal with Jado.
Yep.
So they should definitely do... I totally got that wrong. AKB was the commentator for in 2013, so I'm sorry. But there was another J-pop group And it may actually have also been AKB, but someone was in that Battle Royal. I think it was
AKB 2, I don't know.
Okay, that right.
But definitely a card to look forward to, and should be a great closure of the year, as this always is the end of the year for New Japan, and the new year starts with New Year Dash on January 5.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've been, I already mentioned it, Tetsuya Naito, he is this year's MVP of the Tokyo Sports Awards. And Dylan, we probably have to explain what the Tokyo Sports Awards are and what they are not.
You know, I've asked people in Japan before and they didn't even know. So don't feel bad if you don't understand the specific definitions of these awards. But Strigger will give us the info. We trust him.
So, overall, the Tokyo Sports Awards are the awards given out by the biggest sports paper mm-hmm. in Japan. A couple of journalists vote, quote unquote, vote.
Yes.
In these awards, there officially there is a majority that has to be reached. The majority of votes, I guess, there is around, I don't know, like 20 guys that vote for each category, and you have to reach a majority to be pronounced the winner of each award. And there are nominees, and it's not really known who makes these nominees. So they are.
It's not you.
Sorry, no, it's not me. And so the nominees are never out in public before the actual winners are announced. So it's always kind of a strange vibe to those awards, as you never know when they are coming. Because I think 2 days ago I tweeted that I had a strange feeling that any of those days, the Tokyo Sports Awards should be announced, and then, magically, the day after, they were announced, and, so this year, we have a set of winners that I believe everybody can get behind on, or most people can get behind on. As I said, Tetsuya Naito, he was crowned the most important wrestler in Japan with his reemergence of his career, the revitalization of his career as a Los Ingobernables player, I think, well deserving.
I have to agree with this. You know, he's in the biggest company in New Japan. You know, that you could say this, that, or the other guy that could be in the award, but to me, Naito, his popularity, he was the breakout star for a big stage. His gimmick, his personality, his push that he made. He won the title, you know, and that made him splash. He was the biggest star of the promotion, I feel like, in New Japan. And New Japan's the biggest promotion, so they're going to get this MVP award in Tokyo Sports. I have no problems at all with that.
Yeah.
You know,
and you mentioned the Sanada Tanahashi match at Power Struggle. Of course, this mm-hmm. show was headlined by Tetsuya Naito against Jay Lethal. Completely cold main event, but
not the best.
No, but I think that Tetsuya Naito still played a role in selling out this show. Of course, Tanahashi made his played his role too, but still a cold main event that had Tetsuya Naito still sold tickets, I think. And
yes, absolutely.
And the best match of 2016 was voted Katsushika Okada against Naomi Chimaro Fuji. Not in their King of Pro Wrestling match, but in their G1 Climax match, which caught a lot of people off guard.
You have to understand that in the Tokyo Sports Best Bout, it's not just the best match. Like, it's also a great match that had importance and a hook to it. Like, similar to Okada and Tenryu, you know?
Exactly.
Like I said, that Yeah, that's a match that had importance. It wasn't about like work rate as we know it in the West. It's also about importance. And this had the Noah versus New Japan vibe, and Mara Fuji won. So they could easily spin that as something important for Noah, a turning point for the company in some ways. So I have no problem with this being the, you know, the kind of most important best match style of the year. It wouldn't be my vote for best match or best bout in my world, but I totally understand why. I have no problem with that at all.
Perfect example for the explanation you just gave was that in 2011, actually.
Oh, yes, yes. This is a great example.
2011,
well.
Kenta Kobashi and Keiji Muto against Toru Yano and Takashi Iizuka from the All Together show was voted the best bout of that year. And it wasn't the best match of the year, but it had such an important feel to it, as this was the big charity show for the tsunami that hit Japan in 2011, and Kenta Kobashi and Keiji Muto teamed, I think, for the first time ever, and that was what made that match so important. And of course, last year Tenryu and Okada was a generational battle, and of course Tenryu's retirement match. And so this best bout voting is a conglomerate of many aspects that come together.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it any better myself. And I really think that if you take that into context as to what the best bout is, I think this is probably the right choice if you want to spin it that way.
Yeah.
Mara Fuji, especially after Noah got sold, I couldn't think of another thing, a true moment as well as a match as much, other than perhaps Tanahashi and Okada at the Dome. That would be the only thing I could think of.
Yep. And best tag team? They won the All Japan World Tag Team title. They won the Big Japan Saikyo Tag League, the finals over Akebono and Ryota Hama. Daisuke Sekimoto and Yuji Okabayashi. Fair choice.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with this at all. No. I feel like you can never go wrong with Strong BJ. And that's, I love that picture you posted on Twitter of these two.
Yeah. And it also specifically states that Yuji Okabayashi is naked in the picture.
That's an image we may not have needed, but they deserve the award.
Yeah, they do, they do. Then we have a couple of awards that are not really specified. We have an award that is sometimes it's translated as the Distinguished Service Award. Sometimes it's translated as Outstanding Performance Award, and I'm now looking at the Tokyo Sports homepage. It's sometimes also translated as the Special Prize. And
yes, I like that one the best.
Special Prize is cool. This year's yeah. Special Prize went to none other than the Triple Crown Champion Kento Miyahara.
I know him.
Yeah. Me too.
I actually, to be honest, if I had to make a choice of MVP, I think he really fits that, and he also fits both the Distinguished Medal and the Special Prize, because he's a special talent.
Could have also gotten the Fighting Spirit Award, to be honest.
He should have just won every award.
Yeah.
I feel like, give him the technique, give him the rookie, the lifetime achievement, put all the awards on him. And also, he and Jake Lee is a tag team, as we know. But no. In all seriousness, Miyahara, he means so much to All Japan. I felt like it would have been criminal to not give him awards, even in this corrupt awards vote system. I think it would have been really bad not to give him something, so I'm happy that he did get this. No matter what award he got, he deserved it, so I'm happy that he got something.
Yeah, so Kenji Miyahara winning an award for All Japan Pro Wrestling, that's great. Puts them really, you know, if I look back at the last year, I don't think there was anyone from All Japan winning anything.
Yeah, you're right.
Look that up. No. All Japan in 2015. All Japan. No All Japan in 2014 either. No All Japan in 2013. Last time that All Japan actually won something was in 2012 when Takao Mori and Manabu Zoya was the best tag team. So, really back on the big stage, I can say. So,
and they have so much momentum going into the end of the year as well.
Exactly.
After their last show.
Exactly. Yeah. Talking about momentum, he has kind of momentum after winning the GHC Heavyweight Championship. Katsuhiko Nakajima was awarded the Fighting Spirit Award. And I recently watched him versus Minoru Suzuki. 37 minutes. But...
your favorite.
Every single minute of this match was great and fit right into the story. So this was a long match. It was not a long match for the sake of having a long match, as I often criticize, but it made sense. And that's great. And that's totally understandable then that you're having a long match then. And Nakajima, he really had a great year. Finally breaking through as a singles wrestler and winning the GHC title, he deserved it.
Oh, totally agreed. Much like Miyahara, I feel like he's at the beginning stages of something where he takes on a whole new level of importance to his company as the GHC World Champion. Like you said, you can listen back to shows of us when I first started coming on in April and May. We were talking about Nakajima as the guy to end Suzuki-gun, and he did it. He knocked out Minoru Suzuki in a great match, as you said, and he's going to be really carrying the torch for the arc. And being on that ship, there's been so much bad times, so many bad times in Noah this year. And he's really withstood it all and been a gem, someone who's not been tainted by any crazy booking or anything like that in terms of the fans' eyes, I feel like. And you can see, speaking of Miyahara, Tokyo Sports is pressing hard, if you see some of their translating articles, to make this Nakajima and Miyahara and Okada thing, you know, kind of a feud. They're pushing it hard.
Yeah. They are all of those three are going to be in the same room when the awards are handed out in early January.
Yes, it's going to be interesting.
That's one reason why I can see Okada defending, because we have the three champions on stage here.
Yeah, they're pushing that. I also want to say something real quick about Nakajima and Miyahara, because a lot of people know, a lot of people have said online that Miyahara harbors a grudge against Nakajima because Nakajima helped train Miyahara. And the thing about, yes, Nakajima was hard on him. That's true. But you have to understand who Nakajima's boss was at the time in the dojo and his style. A lot of times, and this goes back to something I saw on Gaia Girls.
Oh,
long time. Yeah. The Satomura was very rough on the girl. I can't remember. She was soft anyway, to be honest with you. But Satomura was very hard on the girl. He gave her a tremendous dropkick, beat the crap out of her. But that wasn't Satomura that was that hard. I've talked to people that say Satomura is a really nice person. But Satomura was under Chigusa Nagayo's rules. And Nakajima was also under Kensuke Sasaki's rules. So it's not just Nakajima was a dick to Miyahara, like just on his own. That's just how it is sometimes. When you're in the dojo, you have to play by the, you know, the main guy's rules sometimes. But Miyahara is true that they're not friends, to say the least, Miyahara and Nakajima. So it's going to be interesting to see those two finally in the same room all the time. And I thought Nakajima did a smart move to even mention those guys. I think Tokyo Sports has just kind of taken something like you said when you originally posted this all on Twitter, they took something that was kind of small and blew it way out of proportion into to where it's something.
Leading up to their own awards, so they spin their own story. Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, crazy how that happened. What a coincidence.
Right. So, yeah, great insight again on the structure and the psychological aspect of training in Japan that you're only getting here on the Eastern Lariat, of course. And the technique...
Not quite as good as Yujiro's gimmick in Bad Luck Falling.
But close.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's true.
The technique award, the sometimes also translated as the skill Award. That is usually a award that goes to Dragon Gate. Sometimes also, to a guy like Tomoaki Honma won it last year. 2013 was Masato Yoshino. 2014 was BB Hulk. So Dragon Gate. It's a strange award. It's not necessarily the best technical wrestler, but it's kind of a consolation prize for not being the MVP or not being the special prize winner. Just a guy who was good gets a prize. That's basically it. So Kenny Omega got the award, and that's fine.
And you know, sometimes it even goes to someone like Takashi Iizuka.
Yeah.
You mentioned on Twitter recently. But I always say it. Nobody believes me when I say that he was good back in his day. But
right.
He totally was.
Right, right.
And I was proud of you for mentioning that on Twitter. I just want to shout that out.
That's actually not the most crazy thing I came across when looking at the Tokyo Sports Awards. Because in 2000, guess who the MVP was in 2000?
Onita.
Nope.
Who was it? Inoki.
Nope.
Okay, I hoped it was Inoki. But okay, who was it?
Kazushi Sakuraba.
Oh, okay.
He won the Pro Wrestling Grand Prize of the most valuable player in professional wrestling in 2000. And
yeah,
Dylan. His only professional wrestling match in 2000. Do you know who he faced?
It had to be Kendo Kashi.
Yes!
Yes. I knew it. I knew it right away. Was Meltzer running Tokyo Sports that year? With this combining MMA? You know, but yeah, that was 2000 was a kind of crazy year in pro res.
Yeah.
You know, some strange things happened. So, we don't like to talk about it. It was some dark times going on. You know, but anyway, back to Omega. I don't think anyone will confuse him as a technical wrestler. No one thinks of him as, like, you know, a great mat technician or anything like that, like Hajime Ohara or someone. But he is a skilled wrestler, as you said, in the way that Dragon Gate players are that have been given this award. Omega has many great moves and a great style in the ring. So there's nothing to complain about, really, when you take into account what you said, your description of the award, of what it actually is, and not necessarily a technical award.
Yeah. So we have three awards left. The Women's Wrestling Award went to Io Shirai for the second consecutive year. And Io, I think, recently showed some new vibes in her career, right?
Yeah, she recently had a heel turn in Stardom, which was very interesting timing and a very cool thing they've got going on. She brought back the former Stardom, you know, young lioness, I guess you could say, Rio Hazuki, who I was actually a big fan of, and then got the current young lioness, I guess you could say, in Momo Watanabe, and they're forming a heel group as start of the main heel group. And Io is the leader of that, taking these young people under her wing. Not necessarily in terms of style, but in terms of what they're going for, seems very Ingo Bernabe style influence, and Io is the Naito. So very cool stuff there with Io. And she's been the champion all year, so I kind of anticipated this. I personally would have went with Sato Mura in terms of a purely best wrestler. And also, Sendai Girls has done had a very strong year, and which we'll get to someone from there in a second.
Just quickly mentioning, a couple of weeks ago when the Lucha Underground episode aired.
Yeah, you saw that, didn't you?
That Io, I watch every episode of Lucha Underground.
Yes, you're a big fan.
I am. That had Io, Kairi, and Mayu on there. Those three, of course, were in their heel role, wearing all black on there. And I said, if they are choosing to go heel with those three in Stardom. I am all in. And now they have Io. They went heel. She went heel. And that is a completely new dynamic for Stardom. They never had that. And yep. It's going to be very interesting to see how that all plays out.
And she's actually an awesome wrestler, like as a heel. She has a great personality. Not just as a wrestler, but a personality. She plays it very well in the ring. And in that Lucha Underground match, she was actually really awesome.
Yes.
So to say the least. So Io rocks. There's no doubt about it. She's been, in my opinion, the most consistent in terms of all the matches that she's had this year. She's really held that title well. And I think that with this new storyline, you know, it's going to give her a way to help some of these other girls, someone like a Mayu Iwatani that she trained with, which they're going to be having a big match soon for the title.
Yep.
And so really happy that she got the award and not Saki Akai after we saw the T-show last week.
Right. And as you mentioned, Sendai Girls got an award as well. Shihiro Hashimoto, she got the Rookie Award. And I guess you could argue that Takuya Nomura could have gotten the award as well, but Shihiro Hashimoto is definitely a great choice for the Rookie of the Year, as she had a great 2016. And again, taking into account that this is a gimmick award, she won the Zener Girls Championship. Takuya Nomura is still a young boy who's losing often, so Shihiro Hashimoto, the right choice.
Yes, I totally agree with you. When you take into account the way that the awards work in Tokyo Sports, this was the perfect. She is the perfect combination of that. Not only is she an awesome wrestler and a great wrestler, but she also brings a unique style to modern day Joshi wrestling with her actual wrestling ability that she has and her suplexes and just how much she's shown in that match with Satomura. I'd really recommend, even if you don't like Joshi wrestling, to check out that match with Chihiro Hashimoto and Meiko Satomura, because it rocked. And I'm a big fan of hers. She's got all the potential in the world as a Joshi wrestler. Nomura, a great wrestler as well. No, nobody would take anything away from him. He's right there, but like you said, he doesn't have the opportunities to get there yet. But Hashimoto is a great choice, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, closing the show with the final award that was given out, and there is no discussion whatsoever about this one as the Lifetime Achievement or the Special Service Award to the pro wrestling community in Japan was handed out to the late Hayabusa, who passed away at the age of 47, I think, this March. That was a huge shock to everybody. His real name, of course, Eiji
Izaki.
Izaki, right? Died at the age of 47, as I said, this March. I can only say what I always say when we talk about Hayabusa. Go back in the archives of MLW. Go back to the episode I did with Brett, a.k.a. Bahu. FMW on Twitter, who runs the FMW home or the FMW archive page, so to speak. So, just a man that had such a big role, not only for Japanese wrestling, but I guess more so for the development of the so-called cruiserweight style, which isn't even a style, but for a lot of high-flying guys all over the world to be inspired by him and his work inside the squared circle.
Like you said, there's not even a discussion to be had about this. Just a great that they threw this in for Hayabusa, because I couldn't imagine anyone so deserving. I remember I wrote an article right after he died on ProWrestlingSpirit.net, and it's still up. You could read it. And not just the wrestler he was, and in a lot of ways, I, you know, before all this happened, it really allowed me to take a closer look at Hayabusa. Is he FMW is something I've always been kind of, you know, that's kind of been a blind spot of mine as a fan. And I went back and watched some of his matches, and even today, just watching him in 2016, I was so amazed at him and the heart he showed in his matches and the style he had. He just had something you can't describe, you know, as a wrestler. He just had that it factor. And not only that, he was also a really, really great guy. If you, I did a lot of research into that and some of the things that he did. He had a lot of influence, as you said, influential to everyone in the world of wrestling. I feel like Hayabusa has been not just all of those things, the wrestling, you know, who he was, the things he did outside the ring, what he symbolized as someone who everyone knows about his horrible accident, but he never let that slow him down. He never stopped trying to get back in the ring, even to the day he died. Like, he wanted that. He loved wrestling that much. So he deserves this more than anybody I can imagine. And it's great to see you. Rest in peace to Hayabusa.
Yep. And there is nothing else to add here.
No.
Tokyo Sports was this year not the usual riot that is caused by Tokyo Sports every year, because this year, more so than in past years, it's really a squad of personalities that have put their stamp on the pro wrestling landscape this year. And so, from my standpoint, everybody that got an award was deserving of one.
Yeah, when you take it into the context of the awards, I totally agree. And all of these are the, you know, like you said, they all left their mark in pro wrestling. You can't argue with any of them, really. But good job by Tokyo Sports. Like you said, people have to stop getting so upset about some of these awards.
Yeah, it's of course, like with the best match, it's up to everybody's opinion what the best match was. And so for any other award, of course, it's up to your opinion who was the MVP of 2016, who showed the most fighting spirit, and so on. But really, everybody has a case here. That's what the bottom line is, I guess.
Like you said, these awards, they're wrestling awards, guys. Yeah. You know, they're not always on the level. Like, let's just say that. But this year, they did a really good job. Like, I thought for what they had, this was not something where you could just say, "Oh my god!"
Yeah.
Like last year when there was no rookie, even though when there was Kazusada Higuchi. You know, there's nothing outrageous like that this year, so I'm happy with that. I think that's a win for Tokyo Sports and these awards.
Right, it's not the alpha and omega, or I guess as you say, it's not the be all and end all. It's just pro wrestling. It's what we love, and it's Tokyo Sports, and we love talking about pro wrestling. And I hope you enjoyed this episode, Dylan. You already mentioned Pro Wrestling Spirit. Where can people find you except for Purezo Spirit?
Yeah, check that out. All sorts of news. And find me on Twitter, at Dylan0, PS, capital D, capital Z, capital P, capital S. Right. So I really talk to you on Twitter. We love the feedback for you guys, and I hope you guys enjoyed the episode, like Strick said.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for listening, of course. You can find me at Striga, Striga, on Twitter, cagematch.net or cagematch.de, depends on whether you speak German or not. And of course, pulllove.com, where we post results of Japanese pro wrestling. Pulllove running since 2006. And of course, today, as we are recording this on Thursday, December 15, we have a great photo up on pulllove.com of the Great Space War that went down at Michinoku Pro Wrestling in Tokyo Kuroken Hall. With that, thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.